Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion for March 30th and 31st, 2012, from sundown to sundown. This Torah portion is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This week's Torah portion is Tzav. It means command. The Torah portion is Leviticus chapter 6, starting at verse 8 to chapter 8, stopping at verse 36. The Haftarah is Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at 21, going to chapter 8, verse 3, and chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. The Brit Hadashah is Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, Romans 12, 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 23, and Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. Before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of all things, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with whom we identify. Holy is your name. We thank you for your Shabbats and pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth in everything according to Torah as it is in heaven. And we pray that you would be in our lives, that your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven, and that there will be a growing unity in the body of the Messiah. And I pray, Abba, for our relationship with Yeshua, that you give us our daily bread. Help us to open our eyes and ears and to see and hear the things you want us to see on this Shabbat and all through the week, Abba, as we read and study your word. And I pray that you will forgive our sins as we forgive others' sins, and hopefully better than we can forgive others' sins. Abba, I thank you and praise you for everything that you have done for your people this week. I pray for those who are in Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I ask you to preserve and protect and provide for your people in Jerusalem. That is their city, Abba, the city of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who it belongs to, Abba. And I pray that you will keep everyone in the land of Israel safe from the enemies around it. And I pray for your people all over the world, that you will continue to provide and have us come together and be more and more unified in your Messiah, in Yeshua the Messiah. We thank you, Yeshua, for all that you have done for us and for sending us your Holy Spirit. And may you be with us all this week. And may the words that I say in this Torah portion be only from you and not from me, Abba, I pray. In the name of Yeshua, I ask these things. Amen. Tzav means command. So what are we commanded to do? Command what? Let's start at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth on the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. So, it is a commandment that the burnt offering, the fire of the burnt offering, never be allowed to go out. So Tzav is about the constant fire, the fire that never goes out. That's the fire of our hearts that burns hot with passion toward our King, our coming King, our Savior, our Messiah, Yeshua. We normally associate the fire with the Holy Spirit, and we've been taught in our churches that the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts and was not before that. But here, we're going to learn something very different. We need to understand a little bit more about this fire. So Tzav is a good Torah portion to teach us about the fire. To learn more about that, let's go to the commentary in the New Testament at Matthew 3, chapter 11, where it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's, I'm going to show you, is a reference back here to Tzav. So this is one of the places in the New Testament that first teaches us that we are the burnt offering. And, you know, even long before John the Baptist spoke of the fire, Tzav explained the fire, because, you know, we are the temple, right? And our hearts is the altar. And on that altar, we are supposed to have this fire for the Lord burning every day and every night. As I said before, we typically think of the fire and the Holy Spirit as going together. And that some believers don't understand that the fire was with God's people even before there was a New Testament. The fire of the burnt offerings was for the purpose of helping us to understand that the Holy Spirit has always been present on the earth and with God's people. But believers have never been taught that the Holy Spirit has something to do with the fire of the burnt offering, because they've been taught that those offerings were done away with. Well, if we are the temple and those things that were in the temple and the tabernacle are in our being, then that was never done away with. And so this burnt offering and the fire of the burnt offering pertains to us today. Paul told us to pray without ceasing. And part of the explanation of praying without ceasing has to do with the commandments that teach us to keep the fire before God at all times. In fact, this fire of the burnt offering is a teaching about the state of our hearts. And the best place to get that concept is in this week's Haftarah portion in Jeremiah 7, starting at verse 21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their own hearts, and of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants the prophets to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished, and it is cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it shall no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Topheth, because there is no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away. And I will silence in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. At that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of its officials, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be brought out of their tombs, and they shall be spread before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, which they have loved and served, which they have gone after, and which they have sought and worshipped. And they shall not be gathered or buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnant that remains of this evil family in all the places where I have driven them, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, the church uses this passage, among others, to validate their claim that God does not want burnt offerings anymore. But what God is really saying here is that he doesn't want their disobedient heart that causes their flesh to perform the burnt offerings as a matter of cold ritual. You know, what God wants from us is obedience to Torah. And so we learn here that what God prefers is to have our heart be a part of our service in with our sacrifices, you see. The Torah and the gospel go hand in hand. The Torah is the instruction, and the gospel is our example of how to live the Torah. You know, Yeshua had to come to show us how that was supposed to be lived, and that's one of the things that he came to do. And so sometimes we forget that Yeshua came to fill up full of meaning all this stuff that we're learning about in the tabernacle and so forth, and how it was made, and how the priest's garments were to be worn, and how they were made, and the functions of the priests, and the offerings, and the protocol for completing them. All of that stuff seems dry and irrelevant to us sometimes, I think, because we're out here in the diaspora and we don't do these things yet. But without our heart involved in these sacrifices, in this burnt offering sacrifices, and without our heart having the fire that burns for the Lord every day and night, none of these things in Torah means anything. I remember years ago when I was trying to teach my boys how to do girly stuff around the house, you know, dishes and laundry and all that stuff. And I would show them what I wanted them to do, like the nuts and bolts of the job. But what I really wanted from them was not only to do the job the way I told them to do it, but I wanted there to be a joy in their hearts about, you know, being obedient to me and wanting to please me, you see. The Lord wants the same thing from us, you see. That's what Tov is all about. Tov is all about us being pleasing to the Lord, and these offerings are another instruction in the way that God wants us to joyfully live our lives before Him with fire in our hearts. And we must never forget that our heart toward the Torah, you know, the spirit of the Torah, comes before the nuts and bolts and the details of the Torah. You see, there's a precedence about the spirit. The spirit of the Torah, the principles of the Torah are more important. Yes, it's important to get these the nuts and bolts and the details right, but we have to do it with the right spirit and the right heart and the right fire in our heart, you see. We have to have the right sacrifice in our heart burning continually. So you either have a heart for Torah or you don't. Now, I think we need to be like David. He had a heart for God, you see. Psalms 9:1 says, to the choir master, according to Muthla Ben, a psalm of David, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. And God said to Jeroboam of the house of Israel in 1 Kings 14, verse 8, you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. See, that's very important, that we do what's right in his eyes. But wait a minute. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And he did other things, like counting God's people in a census when you're not supposed to do that. And he didn't raise his children very well. So you mean to tell me that God thought David had a heart for him? That God or David had a heart for the Torah? Yes, that's exactly what we're supposed to understand. That it was not his perfection in keeping the commandments, because we know David sinned, but it was his heart in doing so. You know, he repented. And that's what we need to always keep in mind, for us to keep the commandments and keep the spirit of the commandments. And when we fail, we know that we can repent. So, you see, again, this flies in the face of official church doctrine that says if you keep the law, you have to be perfect and never make a mistake, and that's why Yeshua did away with it. Well, David made mistakes, but God counted him as someone whose heart was toward God, because in Psalm 40, verse 8, he said, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. So David's heart was toward God, even though he was not perfect, even though he didn't do all the nuts and bolts just right, you know, because even though this was true, David's delight was in pleasing God and in doing God's will and obeying the Torah that was written inside his heart. Oh, and by the way, that's another thing. This teaching that the law was not written on our hearts before the renewed covenant is a lie. Some even teach now that the law will not be written on our hearts until we get into the millennial kingdom. Except David believed the law was inside his heart, or written on his heart. He thought it was written on his heart way back then. You know, that's what having the law or the Torah written on our hearts means. It means that our heart is toward it, and not just in the learning and practicing of the nuts and bolts of the offerings and the sacrifices and oblations, but that our hearts delight to do the nuts and bolts of the sacrifices, the offerings, and the oblations, and all of the other commandments, and that we do this thing because we love Yehovah with all our hearts, souls, and strength. Because why? Because we have the fire of the burnt offering steadily burning within our hearts day and night. Now, there's a lot that goes into keeping a fire. In Leviticus, we learn that the fire was to burn on the altar continually. So this, again, this means that the spiritual fire in our hearts is supposed to burn continually. Now, we don't live in old-fashioned days where, you know, you had to worry about fires. So a lot of us don't understand the amount of work that's involved in keeping a fire going constantly, day and night, night and day. Now, even in the old days, the way back when I was young, when a fire was needed to stay warm, having a fire go out in the middle of the night simply meant you were going to have a tough, cold morning. So someone had to get up at least once during the night to stoke the fire and put more wood on it. But that's not all there is to keeping a constant fire, you know. Someone has to cut the trees, then cut the logs into usable-sized pieces, which then get split into smaller pieces that fit inside the stove or fireplace. That's a lot of work just by itself. But then the wood has to be stacked, or at least it should be stacked, to keep it, you know, in good condition. So then a wood pile is made by bringing the wood inside and putting it close to the stove or the fireplace. You know, you have to keep replenishing that pile that you bring inside. And when a storm is coming, you have to even add more wood to the indoor pile so that you won't run out during the inclement weather. So you see, a lot goes into keeping the fire. There is a lot of preparation work to be done even before the fire can be built. And that includes the fire preparation for the burnt offering. So there is really only two ways of having a fire. With love and joy, knowing that you're providing warmth for your family, or just because it has to be done. And then the other way is to do it with love and joy in your heart toward the Lord, keeping your fire going by constantly preparing it and stoking it and adding, you know, kindling to it and keeping the fire going. Those two ways, one way is the physical way, the other way is the spiritual way. And here in this Torah portion, we're learning about both. We're learning about how to keep the fire on the physical altar, but we're also learning to keep the fire in our spiritual altar. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start at verse 12 to see how to maintain our fire and how it is directly relevant to the reward that's going to come to us in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work that is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So, we have to ask our question, what is the work that Paul is talking about here? Well, it has to do with the Torah's instruction to us. If we go to Romans chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." So you see, the work is the doing of the law. Well, why is this? Well, it's because we are his priests, and the priests are always concerned about the law. They're always concerned about the workings of the law, aren't they? Let's go to James chapter 1 and start at verse 23. "For if anyone hears the word but is not obedient to it," and by the way, when he wrote this, the word meant the Torah, "he is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and studies himself carefully and then goes off and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks at the perfect law of freedom and remains committed to it, thereby demonstrating that he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, will be blessed in what he does. So, you see, God did not give human beings any other task than to obey him. This is the work that he set before us, to do the work, and to do it with our heart, with a fire in our heart. This work is our offering to Jehovah. Holy work is the observance of all the things Yeshua told us to do in those 613 commandments. Now, unholy, worthless work is doing those things that we decide are good things to do, you know, observing our own list of sins, making up our own rituals, then declaring that these are for the worship of Yeshua, and making up our own holidays and teaching others that God's list of the holidays are done away with, passed away, old and obsolete. I guarantee that the latter, the unholy work, will be burned up in God's coming fire, just as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so, we have to keep the fire on our heart so that our holy work, you know, the fire in our altar will keep our holy work before us, and we will be keeping his commandments because our hearts will be willing because we have the fire burning. You see, it's kind of a catch-22. If the fire goes out, the heart goes cold. But if the fire stays lit, the heart stays warm and willing. You see, a cold heart is a stony heart, and a warm heart is a flesh heart. There is that kind of relationship there between the cold and the stony and the warm and the fleshy heart. And that comes because we stoke the fire by praying, by fellowshipping, by studying his word, by praising him, by trusting him. All of these things stoke the fire on the altar of our heart, making us a living sacrifice. That's what we're talking about here in Sav. Yes, I know it's all about the nuts and bolts of the sacrifice, but I'm talking about the spirit of the Torah. And so, in our betrothal to Yeshua, and yes, we are betrothed to Yeshua, this is all about putting our heart into his Torah, into the efforts of the things that we do with our hands, our feet, our mouth, our eyes and ears, etc. And that we do these things with joy so that when we come into his kingdom, and these are the day-to-day operations that we will be observing, that we will qualify to serve him there, you see? We need to live right now as if we are in the kingdom and make it so that our hearts continue to have the flame of the burnt offering burning. Shabbat Shalom.